Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Habakkuk. If you keep records of what I preach, some of you do, I know that. You'll note that I preached from Habakkuk before, even last year. But I'm compelled, by whatever reason, to go back to the book of Habakkuk. It's a small book. But it's a book of encouragements to believers going through difficult times. Why God insists that I share this with you this morning, I do not know. Don't know what's on your heart, do not know what's going on in your life, but it is what God has led me to share this morning. It's a book that will provide hope. Amen. Do we need hope? Without hope, man is pretty miserable. Stand with me, please. We'll not read the entire book by any means. We could, I guess. It's only three chapters. I'll read the first four verses only, then we will refer to the others as we go. Habakkuk is a prophet. He's a minor prophet, not because he's less significant than the other major prophets, but simply because his book is small. That's the only reason. And he was a minister. He prophesied to the children of Israel. He prophesied during a time when things were bad. The people were not doing the right thing. They were disobedient, they were rebellious, they were idolatrous. And he prophesied and encouraged them to repent and turn back to God. We notice what's on his heart here in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, he concludes, the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. He's talking to God. He's making some accusations, which we'll deal with this morning. In verse 5, God answers him. There's a kind of a dialogue going on here. Then the Lord answers him, and then he answers back, and we'll see what happens this morning as we talk about worry, from worry to worship. From worry to worship. Shall we pray? Father, I pray that you might give us the wisdom, the strength, the ability, the divine power to share truth as you have shared it with our own hearts. We do not know why you've laid this on our hearts for this morning. We do not know what the hearts of these folks need, but you surely do. And I pray, Lord, you take your word as only you can by the Spirit and speak to hearts. Encourage the discouraged, lift up the faint-hearted, give faith to those who doubt and question, and may they realize that you're on the throne, you're in charge, you're dealing with life. Even when we look at life and life is not what we would like it to be, you're still working. And if we'll trust you, if we'll look to you in faith believing, then our worry, the worry of the flesh, can truly change to worship. So Lord, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Notice that Habakkuk begins with, it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The word burden means what it says. It's a heaviness, something that was on his heart. Something that was heavy that caused him great stress and problems and frustration and worry. He says, did see that which he observed. There were things as he looked at his own people that he did not understand. He did not understand what was going on. He did not understand why things were going on. There were things that he did not like. There were things that God seemed to be doing that he did not think was the right thing to do. And had a lot of questions on his mind, and this worry caused him to respond to God perhaps in ways that he should not have responded. The word, the name Habakkuk means to wrestle. That's W-R-E-S-T-L-E, not W-R-A-S-S-E-L. There's a difference between wrestling and wrestling. You'll get that later. All right, anyway. So he was struggling. He was struggling to determine what in the world is going on here. And in his concern and in his worry, he literally begins to accuse God. He first accuses God in verse 2 of being indifferent. He says, "How long, Lord? How long will I cry unto you and you will not hear?" The first word cry means just to cry out. The second word cry is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It means to scream. Habakkuk was not just praying sincerely. He was screaming, "Oh Lord, how long will the things that are going on in the nation of Israel continue? Why? Where are you? Don't you care?" And he's accusing God of being indifferent to all that was going on. A lot of bad things going on. And it seemed to him that God was indifferent. He was preaching. He was calling people to repentance. He was calling people to return, and they would not. But God didn't seem to be doing anything. He told him indifferent. We know he wasn't, but that's what it seemed. And then in verse 3 and 4, he accuses God of being inactive. Notice he says, "Why? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance?" He's talking about spoiling and violence and strife and contention. He's saying all these things are going on in the nation of Israel. God, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you sending judgment to these people? I've been preaching judgment and you're not doing anything. And he's challenging God's in his activity. He concludes in verse 4. He says, "Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth not go forth." In other words, God, you're not bringing forth judgment. "For the wicked of the nation doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." God, this is not right. You're not doing the right thing. You're not doing anything. God, you've got to do something. We would never do that, right? We'd never be guilty of that, would we? Well, in verses 5 through 11, God answers Habakkuk and says, "Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise up a nation by the name of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they're going to come, and I'm going to use them as my instrument to judge my people for the sins they've been committing." Now, notice what he says about them. Verse 6. "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves." And it talks about they're going to come in and they're going to be violent. They're going to overcome the nation. They're going to take people captive. And God is going to exact the judgment that Habakkuk has been talking about and questioning God why he hadn't been doing anything. Well, does that answer his questions? Does that take care of his worry? What do you think? It doesn't. And now in verses 12 through the end of the chapter, I won't read all these chapters, but what he's doing in these chapters is saying, "Wait a minute, God." Now he's going to accuse God of being inconsistent. "Wait a minute, God, I don't quite understand something. How can you use a nation that is so wicked and so vile, that's literally worse than your nation, and have that wicked nation that's terrible, that doesn't love you, that is ungodly as it can be, heathen and pagan, how can you use them to come in and judge your people that you've chosen? I don't understand. God, it doesn't seem consistent with your character." I look at that. I want to get on to Habakkuk, don't you? I want to judge Habakkuk for such a response. And then I remember, wait a minute. Sometimes don't you and I as believers do the same thing? I'm looking to see if anybody agrees. Things come into our life. Sometimes things are undesirable, right? Life is tough, isn't it? I told our teenagers in Sunday school this morning that down the road of life, now it's pretty easy. Teenage life is pretty easy right now, teenagers, aren't they? They're going, "No, it's not. They have parents to deal with." Right, Andy? But life's going to be tough. And there's going to be things that come into their lives and it comes out that's undesirable. We don't want, don't like. There are things that come into life that are unreasonable. Why? Why did it happen to me, or why did it happen to so-and-so? There'll be things that we will not understand. There's things that come into life I don't understand. And some things that come into life that are unsolvable. And sometimes because of those situations, sometimes I believe we are perhaps as guilty as Habakkuk is. And in our mind, maybe we do not verbalize it, but sometimes we also make some accusations against God. I think sometimes we accuse God of being indifferent. We do that when we cry out, "Oh Lord, where are you? Dear God, don't you understand what I'm going through? Don't you understand what the situation I am? Don't you see me? Don't you see the burden I'm carrying? God, don't you care?" Anybody been there? The disciples cried out as the boat they thought was sinking. They said, "Master, carest thou not we perish?" We know better, don't we? We know what God's word says. We know God's word tells us that he cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We know those verses. We looked up the references. We've been told that. We know the promises. At least we know them here, but sometimes it never gets down to our heart and our emotions, and we struggle and we worry and we say, "Oh God," and we scream out sometimes because God's not answering our prayers. And we say, "Lord, don't you care?" Maybe we're not all like that at all. Maybe we don't do that. Psalmist says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." We're like that, aren't we? Are we sometimes like that? "Lord, I don't know what's going on. Don't you care? Aren't you going to come? You're not answering my prayers." Sometimes we accuse the Lord of being inactive. We make our prayers. We ask God. We're sincere. Jeff, we're supposed to be praying, and God does answer prayers, praise the Lord, but sometimes those prayers are not answered immediately, or they're not answered the way we want them to be answered. And we begin in our minds to accuse God of not wanting to do anything to come to our help. "Lord, where are you? I need you when? I need you right now." And we begin to assume that God does not care, and God is not there, and God is not able. We should know better. We should know better. We should realize that God is indeed working behind the scenes, and even when we do not see him working, he's always working, isn't he? He's working. I like what you said, Brother Jeff. That motor was sitting there all that time waiting for you. Did God prepare that? Somebody's going to say, "Well, that's what a coincidence." No, I believe God was working that out when at whatever his time frame. God is working. God is sharing. And even when, listen, God didn't explain everything to Habakkuk. He chose to explain some of the things that he was doing. But listen to me, folks. God is not obligated to explain what he's doing. He doesn't have to tell you, "I'm doing this because." You see, if he has to tell us, then it's not faith. God says, "Trust me that when I tell you and I'm working, what I want you is to trust me. Don't worry about it. Trust me along the way. Life is hard, but I am involved. And somewhere, some way down the road, things will work out according to God's will for life, and it will be right." It's always right, isn't it? Whether God answers my prayer exactly the way I want it answered, or God answers my prayer in some other way, or he puts it off, God's answer is always right. If I will trust him, God is not inactive. But then sometimes we also accuse God of being inconsistent. You see, in our minds, it's hard to fathom why there's such discrepancies in the world. Why do the godly suffer? Why does a faithful child of God, who's done everything that they're supposed to do seemingly, why do they go through difficulties and have hardships in life? Why is that? Can you explain that? Why is it the innocent sometimes suffer at the hands of wicked people? Why is there so much injustice in the world? Why are the Christians who are living for God being put down and belittled and mocked in a world that cares little about God? Why are there such discrepancies? And if we're not careful, that inconsistency of God not making things work, why doesn't God vindicate his people now? Well, he'll do that one day, amen? And that seemingly inconsistency, We begin to think, well, maybe God he acts inconsistent because he's inconsistent. Is he? James says, talks about the gifts of God. They come from God, from the Father lights, in whom there is no variableness. No shadow turning. God does not change. The book of Malachi says, for I am the Lord. I change not. I think our problem is that we fail to realize, according to the book of Isaiah, that God's thoughts are where? Bible says, God's thoughts are what? They're higher than our thoughts. Let me read that verse to you. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I do not believe that with this finite mind that you have and I have, that we can fully understand what God is doing. I can't grasp it. His thoughts are here. I cannot attain unto his thought pattern and understand fully what he's doing. All I am required to do is to do what? I am to trust him and obey what he says. And that was what Habakkuk was doing. He was having this trouble. And he was facing this dilemma and thinking that God was inconsistent. He said God was inactive. God was indifferent to my needs. You ever feel like that? Honestly? You ever feel like that, believer? To the point where life is tough. Maybe life is not tough now. Maybe life has been tough. Life will probably be tougher somewhere down the road. And there's that danger for believers when we begin to focus on our problems, and I'm guilty as well, we lose sight of God because our focus is on those problems that we think God must be indifferent. God does not care. We know he does. God is inactive. God's not doing anything. We want him to do something now. God says, wait, I'll take care of it. Or perhaps we even think that God is inconsistent. What do you do when those emotions, we know better. What do we do? Well, I think we need to do exactly what Habakkuk. Do you know what Habakkuk did? Let me show you what I believe is the very key to the whole book. And just makes a whole change in Habakkuk's mood, his outlook, his perspective. Something changes, and he does the right thing, and God answers. And that the key, I believe, to this book is the first verse of chapter 2. Here's the solution. Watch. He says, chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he, God, will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk says, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to quit talking. I've said too much. And he'd said too much. I've said too much. I've complained too much. I've questioned too much. I've doubted too much. And I'm just going to be quiet. And I'm going to go and find a tower. And I'm going to get alone with God. And I'm going to see what God would say to me. And then I'll try to respond when he reproves me for what I've said. I think that's a great move, don't you? And because God saw Habakkuk's spirit, and there was a change in his very spirit. God spoke very clearly to Habakkuk, explained some things to him, and if I had time to go to the end of the chapter, you'll find that his worry changed to worship. At the end of the book, it goes this. Turn over there, I'll just show you this, and then we'll back up. Let me just read the last two verses. Verse 18 says, now, God has explained. Wait, let me explain something. God has explained to him what he's going to do. The children of Israel were still taken captive by the Chaldeans. They came in exactly. Nothing changed in what God has said. It happened exactly like he said it was going to happen. But we find Habakkuk's spirit has now changed from complaining and questioning and accusing God. Now all that worry has changed to worship. And he says, verses 18 and 19, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet or small deer's. And he will make me to walk upon mine high places. to the chief singer on my stringed instrument. He made that into a song. Something changed. And all that changed when he did what he did in chapter 2, verse 1, when he said, I'm going to quit talking. I'm not going to say anymore. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm going to listen to what God says to me. And folks, that's the key of changing worry to worship. Three things this morning, the next 2.5 hours. I may finish early. Our response, number one, is to be still. In response to the troubles of life, we want to do something immediately, right? I want my problem dealt with right now. Actually, I want them dealt with before they happen. I don't want problems to begin with, but I want them dealt with right now. I want it taken care of. I want it worked out. I want it ended right now. I don't want to deal with it anymore. We as believers need to be still. What does Psalms 46:10 say? Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Being still is not a normal response. It's not something that we want to do. It's something that's against our very flesh. When we're agitated, when we're stressed, when we're pressed, we really can't find the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's got to be this stillness to find the peace of God. We've got to stop. We've got to stop trying to figure things out. We got to stop worrying about what God is doing or not doing. We got to stop worrying about the time frame. We got to stop worrying that God is not doing this and God is not in charge and not as, God is not controlled. We need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves, stop blaming others or blaming God, and we need to stop and be quiet. Amen? Job, you know the story of Job, right? Job had a conversation between he and his so-called friends, and they were giving him counsel. And he talked and he tried to justify himself and why these things should not be happening to them. Finally, after on all this kind of frustration that Job was putting forth and even making his own accusations against God, God spoke directly to Job. And after a lengthy discussion and expounding of the very character of God and God's greatness and God's might and God's sovereignty, you know what Job said? Job said, and I'm reading or quoting Job 40, verse 4. Job says, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. What is he saying? I am vile, God. I realize something's wrong. I shouldn't be saying this. I will lay my hand upon my mouth. I will say no more. And as God began to continue dealing with Job, his whole perspective changed. Sometimes we as believers rant and rave, right? We complain. We say, how horrible life is. How bad my situation is. How unfair God is. How heavy our burdens are. And what we need to be doing is putting our hands over our mouth and being quiet and stop accusing God of things that we do not know. See, all we're doing, you know what we're doing? With all our debating and complaining, watch, all we're doing is encouraging our disencouragement. We're encouraging our discouragement. I like that as a title for a message, don't you? Encouraging our discouragement by continuing to be feeling sorry for ourselves. Oh, it's so bad, you just don't know, preacher, how bad my life is. And so forth, and we just dwell on those things. We know better. We've heard the truth. We know God's word. We need to stop, believer, and be still. Amen? Quit debating. And it wasn't until Habakkuk was still and quit debating and quit arguing and quit accusing and opened his heart to God that God began to speak to him and gave him understanding, and his whole perspective changed from worry to worship. So it's critical, believer, before you make a move, before you do anything, before you make some decision you're going to regret later, amen? How many have made decisions they regretted later because they didn't wait? Oh, Lord, if I just waited, if I just had enough faith to believe and let you work, it would have worked out, but I made a decision, I moved forward, I wasn't still, and I made a mistake. Be still. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Sometimes we as adults are like children. These little children over here can't sit still. Sometimes believers can't sit still. Got to do something, Lord. Got to do something. I got to do something. The second one, not only to be still, I believe secondly, it's important to be alone. To be alone. When David was going through troubles and difficulties, when David's life was threatened, what did David do? The Bible says that David ran to the Lord. The Bible says that David said, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." When David was going through these difficulties, even King Saul and his son, he would find that quietness so he could run to God and find some solace, some assurance of peace that God was going to see him through. He needed that time alone with God. David said, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." It was important for David to find that refuge, to find that strength in the Lord. Believers, we need to find that strength. It's like having a big brother. How many's got a big brother? Or had a big brother, whatever the case might be. Did your big brother ever come to your rescue? Shake your little heads. I remember in school a few years ago, right before I was getting on Lawrence's bus. I like saying that, don't you? I like doing that. I remember there were times that I just, in my fearfulness as a child, as an elementary child, my brother is 6 years older than I, he is 6 years older than, and I just needed him at certain times, and I just felt the peace that when I get in his presence, he's going to take care of it. Listen, God will take care of it. You can't rely on yourself. You can't rely on others. You got to get alone with God and find God's peace and God's help. God can. Amen. God can. And he'll he may not deliver you from all your problems, but he'll give you the peace and you'll be okay because you're in his presence. Turn over to Psalm 62. Let me show you how David dealt with this. Psalm 62. Where is it? There it is. I see David here both being still and being quiet, being alone, and God bless. Psalm 62, the first two verses. This may be, and I forgot to look this up, it may be the time when David was running away from Saul, I'm not sure. But David says in verse 1, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God." Is that being still? "Before you move, be still. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." David says, "I need God. I need to get into his presence. I need to seek him as my refuge. I need his peace. I need his grace. He is the only one that can help me." Have you been in a situation where you went to somebody else for your help? Did they help you? They might have. But they can ease the pain and the struggle and the burden. Man cannot do that alone. We need God as believers. If we're going to get through the struggles of life, if our worry is going to change from worry to worship, there's got to be that time alone with God. Isn't it? You've got to spend time with God seeking his help, seeking his guidance, praying unto him and say, "Lord, I can't, but you can if you will. Here's my situation." And God, I believe, will work, don't you? Boy, we're really excited. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe God will work on your behalf? Yes or no? Then why don't we go to him? Why do we continue to fret and worry and be frustrated and complain and gripe and wonder, "Oh, what's going to happen to me?" God's in control, folks. We need to be still. We need to be alone. And thirdly, we need to be quiet. We need to be quiet in the presence of God so we can do what? So we can listen to His, what kind of voice? That still, small voice. We're like children again. When children have a problem, they're going to go to the parents. What do they typically do when they go to the parents? They rush in and they do what? They say, in a very calm voice, they say, Mother, Father, I have a problem. Right? Nina's back there laughing. Those kids must not do that. Those kids will burst into mom and dad and start jabbering and start talking a mile a minute. And they're talking and so and mom and dad says what? Calm down. Slow down. Tell me what's going on. I don't understand you. And we're like that sometimes. We rush into God's presence. We begin blabbering and murmuring and complaining. Oh, God, my life is so unfair. Life is so terrible. What am I going to do? It's so bad. And God says, whoa. Calm down. Slow down. Yes, enter my presence, but let me speak. Listen, does God know what's going on in our lives? There's nothing wrong with expressing to God our concern. Don't get me wrong. But don't want to go into God's presence complaining and blaming and griping and frustrated. God knows what He's doing. God knows what's going on. God's working. Go to Him and say, yes, Lord, I have a burden. And then be quiet and let Him speak. Amen? How's He going to speak to you? Look at Psalm 119. God will speak to you as He spoke to, I started to say He's going to speak to you as He spoke to Habakkuk. He actually spoke to Habakkuk. He's not going to speak to you audibly, but He will speak to you through His Word. Psalm 119, it's in here somewhere. There it is. Look at verse 114. And there's other verses we could look at. The writer of Psalm 119 says, Thou, God, art my hiding place. There's that being aloneness. And my shield. I hope, what? I hope in Thy Word. We go to God alone. We're quiet. We're still before God. And we allow God to speak to our hearts. And provide the assurance through who He is and what He's doing and His omniscience and His omnipotence and all of His character that He's not inconsistent, He's not inactive, He's not indifferent, He does care. And as God begins to deal with our hearts, the Spirit of God will assure us that all is well. You know what happened with that burden? That burden will lift right off your soul. So what happened to Habakkuk? Habakkuk went in before God with the right spirit, with the right heart, with a humble, with open ears and an open heart and said, God, I don't understand, but I'm not going to say anymore, Lord. I need to hear from You. And God spoke to him, and the burden off of his heart was lifted. At the end of the book, there is no more burden. He's trusting God, and he's rejoicing. I think that's fantastic. Where are you this morning? I'm not finished. Are you over here? Oh, what is happening in my life? I can't understand it. It's terrible. Woe is me. And you're worrying and you're concerned. And I said the other day, concern is just a buzzword for worry. And we're so agitated and frustrated and we're just upset. Listen, folks, you can't worry and worship. You can't be so concerned about life's problems that you're worshiping at the same time. Cannot be done. There's got to be this dealing with this worry. The worry's got to be changed from worship. It comes through being still. It comes from being alone. It comes by being quiet before God and letting God's Holy Spirit provide that peace that passes all understanding. And when that happens, listen, that burden will lift. What do you want? You want to carry the burden? Worry? Fearful? Fretful, frustrated, angry, bitter, blaming, blah, blah, blah. Is that you? Or do you want that burden lifted? Anybody want the burden lifted? When we lived in South America back in those days, people would transport things on their backs. My first trip to South America, I was amazed. Here's this pile of wood, like sticks, probably about all I could put my hands around. You know how they carried them? Put them on their backs. You know what that did to them? It wasn't this. I fall and I can't get up. It was like this. And I saw many with things around it, strapped around their heads and the strap and just walking around like this. And I'm thinking, oh. Of course, that was a good illustration for deputation slides. See this burden? This is, you know. But I saw them, this heavy, heavy burden. It just bowed them down. And there are believers who are bowed down. Listen, that burden can be lifted. Mm-hmm. Burdens are lifted where? At Calvary. And if we will be still before God, not be so anxious and impatient to do something right or wrong, and if we'll get along with God before you go off, tear off on some pathway, make something, get along with God and the Word of God, be quiet and listen. If you have open ears, God will speak to your heart. Now, let me share something of a personal nature. Oh, let me say one more thing. God may not explain everything to you as He did to Habakkuk. Chapters 2 and part of 3 in Habakkuk, God gave pretty much detail what He was going to do. He didn't change His mind. He still did what He's going to do, but He told Habakkuk what He's going to do, but He gave him the peace. God may not explain everything to you. He's not obligated. If he explains everything, then it's not faith. So God may not explain everything, but God will do a spiritual work, an emotional work in your heart. Everybody understand what I'm saying, right? I'm not promising God is going to take that burden, take the situation away, but He'll take the burden away. See the difference? I was scanning through some old notes that I had, and I came across several years ago some things I had jotted down in a book, in a journal. Don't always journal, but sometimes I'll write things down, especially when I'm going through difficulties. And I found several years ago that I was going through some personal difficulties, some ministry. There was just a number of things. You know, it's okay one thing at a time, but it's when two or three things happen at once, right? So when it rains, it pours, you know? And it's that pouring that becomes difficult. And I was struggling with some things and issues. And I wrote, and this is what I wrote in my journal. I wrote, Lord, I'm deeply troubled and concerned. What do I do? I wrote, Lord, I am tired and weary. I do not know how to make things work out. I must have been trying, right? I said, Lord, I feel like I'm in the fire. Deliver me in your mercy and let me find grace. Now, to be honest, I don't remember if I was accusatory to the Lord. I don't remember. I guess I don't want to remember, right? I don't remember whether I was accusing God of being indifferent or inactive or uncaring or inconsistent. I don't know. Perhaps I did in my own mind and heart. I don't know. But I struggled as Habakkuk did with his struggles and the burden that I had. And the only way I knew to deal with that burden was what I'm telling you. I needed, first of all, to be still. And I was still and got along with God and opened up the Word of God and began and allowed God to speak to my heart. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. He used a particular verse. Let me find it real quick. It's in 1 Thessalonians, if I can find it. I didn't write it down. Here's a verse that God used in my heart. I write things down on occasion like that as a memorial. You understand? So that when I'm going through some difficulty down the road, I can look back and say, oh, God saw me through that. God lifted that burden there. God changed that worry to worship, and it helps me, encourages me. The verse that I read that Lord shared with me, 1 Thessalonians 3:3 says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. And God says, this is not to break you. This is to increase your faith and encourage you and to lift you up. And it's going to be okay. And I'll see you through. And as I struggled and dealt with the situation, you know what happened? I recorded what happened. I wrote, about 1 p.m. on Tuesday, peace came to my heart and the cloud of unbelief, doubt, and fear lifted. My burden was gone. Now wait. The circumstances did not change. God didn't say, okay, I'm going to make it perfect. Nothing changed circumstantially. Situation was still the same. It was still the same situation. But the burden had been lifted because God had said to my heart, all is well, I'll take care of it. And in that quietness and peace, God did a work. I didn't do it. And talking about the answer to prayer, brother, it's just that sensation that only, when you know, when God's peace, that peace that passes on just comes over your heart, boy, there's relief. Have you experienced it? It's there. It's possible. Can you relate to any of this? Do you struggle with circumstances? Are you dealing with life's problems? Maybe they're little today. Praise God if they're little, amen? They could be worse and may get worse. What do you do when they get really, really bad and you don't understand? And what are you doing? Oh God, where are you? When you start emotionally responding, be still, stop talking, stop complaining, stop murmuring, because it doesn't help. Be what? Be still. Be alone. Be quiet. And let God speak. I know He'll speak to your heart. You enter into His presence with confidence. Amen? We can do that, right? Lord, I have a problem. I have a burden. I'm not complaining. I need your help, Lord. I can't handle this. But I know you're capable and you can. And if you'll let God work in your life, God will change your worry to worship. You'll praise Him. That's the reason there's people in the midst of difficulties who are still praising God. They've gone to the Lord. They were quiet. They were still. They were listening. And God changed any of their concern and their worry and their anxiety. And they're worshiping the God because they know that God's in charge. Is He? Can you trust Him? Sure you can. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.